Lake Effect brings you conversations about what's happening in Milwaukee and the people, places, and organizations that shape the community. This is Lake Effect Spotlight from WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR.
The Trump administration recently announced its intention to dismantle the Department of Education. If successful, the move would threaten nearly $1 billion in aid to Wisconsin schools and would move mandatory oversight of special education to the Department of Health and Human Services, currently headed by Robert Kennedy Jr. Lake Effect Sam Woods is joined by John Johnson, senior policy advisor at the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction, to learn how federal money is spent in Wisconsin schools, how private schools may be affected by these cuts, and what the future of special education in Wisconsin might look like.
Can you start by explaining Wisconsin DPI's relationship to the federal Department of Education?
Sure. So every state receives resources, meaning funding, from the federal government for education. They also receive, our schools, local schools also receive funding for their school meals, for breakfast, school breakfast and school lunches. They receive funding in other ways as well from the federal government, like Medicaid. Medicaid services are reimbursed that schools provide. We know that schools more and more are centers for the community, not just for education, but for lots of different public good programs, meaning like nutrition programs, meals, meaning some health services happen through there, different social services, mental health services happen through schools. And so the federal government provides close to $1 billion a year for our Wisconsin schools. That's close to 10% of the overall spending for education, on education in Wisconsin. That is, though, very variable by district. So because a lot of the money from the federal government is targeted to school districts and schools with high levels of student poverty, high levels of students experiencing poverty, the funding is a big percent in districts that need it the most, I would say. So there are a large number of rural districts that have high levels of student poverty. There are some big major local urban districts that have high levels of student poverty that get over 20% of their funding every year from the federal government. So Milwaukee is one of those, Racine. You've got rural school districts up north, tons of them, that receive over 20% of their annual funding from the federal government. So what's happening right now is really unprecedented uncertainty. It's uncertainty right when we have a state budget being produced. It's uncertainty right when every local school district is figuring out their budget for next year. The federal government, there's a lot they don't do in education. The federal government does not tell schools what to teach. The federal government does not certify and license teachers. The federal government does not draw school district boundaries or tell how school governments should work or any of those pieces of what happens in schools. What it does do is there are very important laws that provide really basic civil rights and baseline rights for kids and their families, especially around students who are identified with special education needs or have an IEP, individual educational plan. There are also programs for students who are experiencing homelessness. Again, I talked about there are tens of millions of dollars that come to Wisconsin for school meals for students whose families are experiencing poverty or near poverty. Those are critical aspects of what the federal government over the years has developed in terms of serving really the neediest kids that we have in our schools. Uncertainty around that is also really a critical aspect of what's going on right now. So if the federal government funding changes or goes away, local school districts and the state will still have to fund those programs. So local taxpayers then really potentially can see significant increases in what they have to do if federal funding goes away. We do know that there's been a couple cuts already. One is to a very good local food program. It was a farm-to-table program for our local schools and for different community organizations where local farmers and producers would be funded for providing schools and different food banks or other groups in communities with locally produced produce. So it was a win-win. It was a win for Wisconsin farmers, a win for Wisconsin kids and their families. And that was a few million dollars statewide that's now gone, cut, even though the money's still there. That's the other thing about all this. All this money was allocated by Congress.
You covered this a bit, but I want to ask it directly. So Donald Trump has said that he wants to, quote, return education to the states. What is mandated by the federal government that could conceivably, to use Trump's language, be returned to the states?
You know, that's a great question. I think it's a question that should be asked of the new leadership of our Department of Education at the national level, or whatever entity they propose to replace that. I don't have that answer. I don't think that's part of this whole uncertainty. Is you're talking about all of these really important things that are important for kids and families, and you've already cut the workforce of the workers who run all that money out to schools in half at least. And you've also said you're dismantling a congressionally mandated department without actually providing the answers to the question that you just asked. What is your vision for what students and families will get out of this? And playing with that without actually having what is going to happen, what's detailed out, is just, it's just not the way that you do it. I mean, you wouldn't, a classroom teacher makes a lesson plan for one day, yes, but that lesson plan is part of the whole sequence that they figured out for curriculum for that year. And they have resources, they have different readings, they have different engaging kind of activities that they're going to build into all that. They plan it out. We plan out what our students learn. And yet all of this that's happening from Washington right now just seems like it's not planned out.
You mentioned curriculum. How much power does the Department of Instruction have in resisting pressure from the federal government to overhaul curriculum or cut programs?
So curriculum, there is no federal role in really legally in telling districts what your curriculum is. And actually in Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction, the state statute has us creating academic standards, which are the foundational expectations for the knowledge and skills that students learn in every content area. So in reading, in English language arts, in mathematics, in science, in career and technical education programs, keep going down the line. Those are all put out there. They're adopted by the state superintendent. But those are also in Wisconsin law, not mandated that districts have to use them. If a district wants to use other academic standards or develop their own academic standards, they have to notify their public. They have to have a school board action to do that, but they can do that. Districts do their own curriculum. We don't write curriculum at the DPI. We write academic standards. We give out resources around how you could sequence a course around, let's say, government. We did this in government and in civics education in the last couple of years, where State Superintendent Underley had the department chair out a kindergarten through 12th grade sequence of how you could teach civics education across grades. That's not curriculum, though. Local school districts in Wisconsin do that. There is really no federal role in mandating curriculum.
So the current state superintendent has said Wisconsin funds two systems of schools, one public and one private. But what does that look like on the ground?
So Wisconsin has had a school voucher program for close to 40 years at this point. And it has expanded a lot in the last 15 years, where it became statewide. It used to just be in Milwaukee, and it used to be for very much students living in poverty. It is now expanded across the state. And what the point is of saying that is, and this is actually quoting and paraphrasing former State Senator Ellis, who, when they were initially talking about expanding vouchers statewide, talked about funding two systems. At the state level, we have had many years where funding has been stagnant for our local public schools, or has gone up by less than inflation. And at the same time, the funding for vouchers for students going to private schools is always fully funded at the state level. The state also changed the way it's funded, that for school districts outside Milwaukee, it is a hit on local property taxpayers. So local property taxpayers pay to send the students to private schools. We know that, and this is data that's out there, that as the program expanded, most of the students who started taking the vouchers had already been attending private schools by their own family means, by their families paying tuition. So the state replaced something that had been privately funded by something that is funded at the state level. And so when you think about funding for two systems, in Wisconsin, we already struggle to fund our local public schools, which is one system. And you've added on tens of millions of dollars every year of additional expenses for private schools. And most of the private schools are religious schools. The other piece of that is there's not the same level of accountability in many of these situations, and they don't have to follow a lot of the state laws or especially federal laws, like, for instance, mandating special education services or mandating services for English learners. So the more that the private schools have expanded with the vouchers funding students, at times we see that students who receive special education services are in the public, local public schools, because the private schools aren't set up for those. So that's really, and it's Dr. Underly, but before her, State Superintendent Evers would talk about this. State Superintendent Burmaster would talk about this. State Superintendent Benson would talk about this. It goes back decades that we have been expanding, paying for private schools and private religious schools with state money and local taxpayer money, at the same time that we struggle to fund our local public schools.
So you mentioned that private schools don't have to follow certain federal requirements, for instance, regarding special education. So I have a bit of a double-barreled question for you. One, what federal requirements do these private schools have to follow? And is the voucher program affected at all by these Department of Education cuts?
It's a good question. Our local private schools that participate in the U.S. Agriculture Department school meals programs, they could lose funding there. There is a federal program that provides funding. It's called Title II. It provides funding for teacher training. Sometimes it's used for lower class sizes and other things like that. That is something that there's an equitable distribution of those funds to local private schools, which they could lose that. You mentioned special education. Private schools are not covered by special education law, whether it's state or federal. So there's not funding that goes to them for that, except for there is a state level special needs voucher, it's called, or special needs school choice scholarship, which can go to a student with special needs at a private school, but the private school doesn't have to follow all the due process and all the federal mandates around, and the state mandates around, what the special education program looks like in terms of meeting the kids' needs. And so you could have a student, this was controversial at the time they adopted it over 10 years ago, you could have a student who receives the special needs scholarship but isn't receiving the education that they were at a public school, because there's no individual plan that's mandated either by courts or by federal and state law. And so there's a lack of accountability there and a lack of due process rights if the parents think that it's not happening.
Gotcha. So I want to end by focusing on special education. So Trump has said that he intends for the Department of Health and Human Services, headed by Robert Kennedy Jr., to oversee special education programs. But before we get into what that would mean for education in Wisconsin, can you give an overview of programs that are included under the term special education?
Sure. So in our local student populations, we have all kinds of students with all kinds of needs. Some students have serious physical or cognitive disabilities. Some students, there's another area about around emotional disabilities. There's a big area of students who need support in learning speech and learning language usage. And then there is a large category of students who have learning disabilities. So students with learning disabilities in terms of learning how to do math or learning how to read. And what happens both at the state and federal level, there are laws, and at the federal and state level, there are court cases that provide really a guideline and legal responsibility for public schools to meet those students' needs. The federal government and the state have never fully funded those programs. The state reimbursement rate is under 30% now. The federal government rate is under 10% of reimbursement. When these laws were initially passed in the 1970s, 100% of the funding for these local programs were supposed to come from the state and federal government, and it just has never happened. So State Superintendent Underly, in her budget request, and the governor has put a lot of this in it, has asked for a big increase in special education funding, recognizing that these are vital services for kids to learn, but they're also mandated services that local school districts are being grossly underfunded to provide. And a mandated service, if you don't have the money coming in from the federal government or from the state government, you have to then move money from elsewhere in your budgets, right? So there's less money for other programs. There's less money for other instructional programs, potentially less money for teachers, to hire teachers, less money in many different ways locally. And so that's, the programs really are around educating all kids and educating the needs, the educational, instructional needs of kids. But sometimes it's also emotional needs. Sometimes it's physical. There are other health impairments, autism. So students who have autism or have other different kinds of medical issues, those students also can qualify for special education programming and instruction or support services, whether it's a school nurse support or it's a social worker support, mental health professional support. Those are all part of the comprehensive plans that are developed for these students.
So I'm going to ask you to prognosticate on a bit of an unknown here, but is it possible to say what the impact of moving oversight of these special education programs to Kennedy's department might be for Wisconsin students?
Well, I think I've mentioned this earlier. You know, we just have no certainty whatsoever about funding levels. I mean, the certainty on the funding levels, the Congress authorized certain funding levels, but will those be the funds that actually go to local school districts and that go to the state? We don't know. We do know that thousands of trained professionals, lawyers, and special education professionals at the current U.S. Department of Education have lost their jobs. And those people are not being transferred to Department of Health at the federal level. So a gross uncertainty is who's going to do the work. This is really complex law and court cases going back decades that govern all of this, that govern really foundational rights for kids and their families in special education programming. And so what does that look like? Who replaces that institutional knowledge? And that can be honestly, like, the expertise and institutional knowledge being cut or being tossed out the window is an impact of many, many of these cuts of trained staff.
It seems like uncertainty is the theme of this announcement of these cuts. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. I think uncertainty is definitely a theme. Sadly, you know, some of human nature, I think, takes uncertainty and it impacts increased levels of fear and anxiety. And that's something that we shouldn't be pushing across the nation, across our state, is by by having high levels of uncertainty and really no idea of what the real plan is for these programs, for this funding, you end up with anxiety and fear. And that's something that we shouldn't be impacting and fostering within children and their families. That's just wrong.
Well, Dr. John Johnson, thank you so much for joining me on Lake Effect. I appreciate your time.
Hey, always a pleasure to be on public radio.
That was John Johnson, Senior Policy Advisor at the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction. He spoke with Lake Effect's Sam Woods.
You can find more interviews like this one by visiting wuwm.com/lakeeffect. And while you're there, subscribe to the Lake Effect Spotlight podcast.